Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to the Grove Podcast. We are so excited to be launching season 3 today and have a really special episode for you. For anyone new to this podcast, welcome. The Grove is an outpouring of Passion City Church in Atlanta and began as a way to encourage the women of Atlanta through monthly gatherings here at Passion City. And a couple of years ago, we decided to take the opportunity to export what we have here to the rest of the world, and the Grove Podcast was born. We've loved being able to bring a variety of content here, including talks from our Grove gatherings, as well as one-on-one conversations and panel discussions. And today, we get to hear from our incredible leader, Shelley Giglio, as she sits down in the hot seat and is interviewed by her friend and a dear friend of the Grove, Jenny Allen, teacher, author, and leader of the IF Gathering. This conversation was actually recorded as content for IF Lead Conference earlier this summer, which really shares the heart of the Grove to equip and empower women to flourish where they're planted and help live lives of freedom that are rooted in Scripture. Jenny and her team were gracious enough to let us share it here on the Grove Podcast, and for that we are extremely thankful. This conversation between two friends is so insightful and full of wisdom, and we really hope you'll stay tuned after for a brief but very special moment of guided reflection together. So here's Jenny Allen with Shelley Giglio.
When I look ahead at the state of the church and the threats that we have to the work of the kingdom and building it, one of the greatest threats I see is division. And I don't think it's avoidable, right? I would love to think that it is, but I think we are looking at a world where we're going to face more and more division. But one of the answers to that is the way we handle that and the way we love through division. So one of the people that does this the very best that I have learned so much from, when I think of who has taught me the most about leading in love, even if we're offended, even if we're hurt, it's Shelley Giglio. So thank you so much for being here, Shelley.
That's very kind for you to say that. I want to be the person you just described. Whether I am or not, I don't know about that. But thank you for having me and just talking about this, because I feel like it is the future of the church. And all of us need to have a game plan if we're going to live well to the end. So I love that you want to talk about that.
Well, I look back at the first years of IF Gathering, and you were one of my first calls when, you know, all the stuff would hit the fan, and it would a lot behind the scenes. I would be hurt, I would hurt, and I would call you, and you had a way of kind of calming me down and giving me a vision for how to somewhat take the punches, right? I mean, I would say you, more than anybody else, helped me build thicker skin. Yeah. So that I wouldn't be so easily offended. In leadership for you, why do you think that matters so much? Why does a leader need thick skin to be able to lead effectively?
Well, I don't know if any of us are normal, thick-skinned people. I think we are very sensitive people. I know for me, my heart is very tender. And so I take things on. I actually absorb a lot of people's pain just by being in their presence. I also try to solve a lot of things in life. Emotionally. And so I'm made like that. So idealistically, a person like me wouldn't do well in ministry for the long haul, because it's not my natural thing to be thick-skinned and, boy, we got this and we just keep going no matter what. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says about us. I wish I was more like that, but I'm actually not like that at all. But I think God has spoken so much to that in the Word, because He knows there's going to be division. You know, when I look back at Scripture and history of the church, division is a classic part of the community of church, and it has been a problem because people are involved from the very beginning. So this isn't really a new issue. It really is an ongoing issue of that this is part of the way we have to trust God more than we can live in the moment of crisis. And for me, if I ever was able to calm you down, I was probably speaking over myself and to myself at the same time. But what I was reminding you of, I hope, is that there is a greater arc, and God is in control of that arc. And your life circumstance and everything that's going wrong in your life right this second fits under and beneath that arc. And if that's true, if He actually is sovereign and in control of our lives, then the worst thing we can do every single time something happens is panic. the best thing we can do is trust. And so I've had to teach myself how to trust. And that's not an easy process to do, especially when you're trusting in something that you can't see. I want to be able to see God. If I could see his eyes, I know I would trust him more. But for whatever reason, he's asking me to trust him anyway in this void of the ability to see him, I can still believe. And boy, I've had to train my mind and my heart to actually come around those things. And the more I do, and the harder the circumstance gets, and they do get harder, I feel like the more I'm steady in them. And that's just by the grace of God.
One of the things I love about you too, and it's true for Louis too, is you don't defend yourselves. I've never seen you do it. Even privately, I've never seen you do it. So talk about that and just that decision, because I think it is a decision and a choice, because our nature is to defend ourselves almost by way of interruption when somebody's...
We feel justified, you know, like especially when we're attacked or hurt in any way, we feel justified. Like it's our moment to say, well, this is my side of the story. And as humans, we say, oh, it's my time. Now I'm going to tell you the way it actually happened. And I'm going to tell you my side of the story. But in the moment, God is my defender. Mm. He is actually my heart. And he is not so much worried about the circumstance. He's more worried about me in the circumstance. He's more concerned about the way I'm responding and the way I'm forgiving and the way I'm loving in spite of the circumstance. So I'm not really needing to defend myself when God's staring straight down the barrel at my heart. He doesn't need me to tell him how it went, right?
Right.
I'm just trying to tell everybody else so that they'll be on my side. Well, do I need them on my side, or do I need God on my side? Who do I want to have? And ultimately, I've made a choice, and that choice is I want God on my side. I want more than anything in my life to live a faithful life. And to do that, God is the one I need. And people are important to me. I love people. We have a great relationship. So I love people.
Yeah.
But they're never going to give me what I ultimately want, which is a faithful life that's yielded all the way to the end with God. And so I have to trust and depend on him for that. And again, that's teaching yourself to do that. It's not a natural response to keep your mouth closed. But when you keep your mouth closed, you let God defend your heart, and what he sees is your character, not just your action. And he actually stands in defense of that. And so I've learned to trust him in that. That's the best way I know how to describe it.
Well, it's a supernatural thing, because it's almost like it doesn't make any sense by the world standard. And when I have talked to people about this, and even been in the midst of crisis with people, and said, hey, let God be your defender, they're like, hey, that's not just, that's not right. And I think it just goes against our rights that are our perceived rights. And it just feels like, how could this be good? It nearly feels like we're choosing.
Well, it's upside down.
Right. Right. But it lets supernatural things work. Right. And I think that's what I've seen is the power of God to move. It's not just turn the other cheek so you can be abused further. It's turn the other cheek so that something supernatural can happen in that space that couldn't happen otherwise.
Yeah. And, you know, conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not actually the work of my words. And there are so many times I want to grab the moment and bring conviction to somebody. Do you understand what you did to me? Do you understand what this feels like to be on the other side? Do you understand what that word meant to me? Do you know that I'm human? Do you even care about me? But actually, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. So I have that pause in me that wants to wait for him to do his job. He describes himself as excellent at it. And so I'm like, if I feel like I have to take that on personally and make you feel that, then I'm telling God, you're not a good enough God. And I don't want to tell God that. I think he is good at what he does. And I think if I would stay out of it, that he would do it just fine. And so the truth is, I've learned to shut my mouth and just let God work. That's the real truth.
Well, I think about so many people listening right now are in a small group where there's division. They're in a small church staff where they feel misunderstood and hurt. What would you say to them that are listening that don't know what to do with that hurt?
Well, I would say God can take it on, and he's probably the only one of your friends who can actually endure the pain you feel right now. And I think as humans, we want to put it on each other because we need each other, and we definitely need friends to walk through things with us. But God is the only one who can actually sustain the weight of what you're feeling right now, and it's crushing, and it's real. You can't say, hey, just don't feel that way, you know, or get over it. You'll be better tomorrow. That's not real. Real is this is a wound and it hurts. But Jesus calls himself the healer. He says of himself, by my stripes, by what I took, you're actually free. You're healed. You're whole. And so he's the one who needs to bear the weight. And we have to learn to exchange our grief, disappointment, frustration into the arms of Jesus. And just to say to him, I have to leave this here because there's no one else in my world that can bear it. Not my husband or wife, not my children who I'm trying to put all this weight on. Don't do that to your kids, to your best friend. Do you think she signed up for that? So there's one person who can sustain that kind of weight, and it's God. And we've got to learn as believers to shift the weight to him and let him carry it for us.
Talk about a time, Shelley, that you felt that betrayal, that you felt hurt. And you don't have to go into the specifics of that event, but what happened inside of you? Like, what does that actually look like to go to that secret place and to trust Jesus and not to run off to what would feel better faster, right?
I think part of it is allowing yourself to grieve the disappointment. There's a word in scripture called lament, and it basically means to grieve in a way that you just sit in it.
Yeah.
And you let the Holy Spirit work in that grief. And I think culturally and personally, I would prefer not to sit there. I would rather get it out and over with and move on. Unfortunately, a lot of the Holy Spirit's work is done in that season where I sit. For me, it's been sitting, it's been praying, it's been releasing, it's been believing for greater things, it's been including enough people. And it's a very small group of people who can pray me to that end. And then it's just been letting the Holy Spirit do his work. It's not a pretty process. Everybody wants it to be awesome. Because isn't life awesome and that's the way everything is? And I'm like, yeah, no, this isn't that part that's awesome. But it will refine you and it will make you something that everyone will want to know about. And so it seems to me like even though it's hard, it is still good.
I think back to a few years ago, and I mean, we were going through things on every level, things that, you know, I can't necessarily put into books, but are devastating and were affecting us personally. And they were big, big things. And those were times I would call you. And I think the loneliness that comes because of that is that you don't trust. And I actually wrote about this, that I withdrew and I didn't want to be vulnerable and I didn't want to let people in to...
You don't want to hurt again.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt again. And it just makes you wonder, like, is this coming? You kind of brace. So talk about... Because the other thing you said to me is you would say, you know, and a lot of people have heard this statement, but thick skin, soft heart. And you, I want to bring up the soft heart part because I do think you can have one or the other. And you're not going to go far in leadership. It takes both. You can't lose the soft heart. And I think that in that time, I had to choose to keep a soft heart, to be vulnerable with people, to let people in, to trust people again. But it is hard.
Because when you are hurt, you can't be the same. You're not the same person after the hurt that you were before the hurt. God does restore. He does heal. He does bring about new and fresh things. But he doesn't always take us right back to exactly the way we were. But... that's not a bad thing. And I think if we think it's bad that we can't just return to exactly the way we were, then we'll be devastated. Because I'm a vulnerable leader. I put my heart out there. I lead with my heart. When I talk about Jesus, I cry pretty much every time I talk about him. And people are like, is she okay? You know, but he's so everything to me that when I mention his name, it brings tears to my eyes. And I think that's a gift. And Satan would love nothing more than to steal that gift from me. I mean, the scripture is clear. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And those are the only three purposes he has. That's the only reason he's here, and that's what he'll do to all of us all day if we let him. And so in a moment of hurt, is he stealing from me? Is he trying to kill me and destroy me? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and not just average life, abundance, like joy, unspeakable joy and happiness and life, like quality of life. And so I have a moment of grieving the loss. I'm not the same person anymore, but looking for the gain. Where am I going from here? Why is God allowing this? Why did this pass through his hand to me? So that I would be hurt, destroyed, killed, devastated? No, that's not his work. That's Satan's work. So what is the purpose then? Why am I sitting here? And what does my future look like? And the future me, I already know, I've read scripture, is a better version of me than I am right now. So I don't have anything to dread by being hurt. I have something to look forward to. And I just choose to see it that way. And that way has changed everything for me.
When you think about legacy and you think about what people will say about your ministry, Shelley, and I mean you, not just Louie and Passion, but you, what do you hope people remember and think of? And I know you got a lot of years left, but I think it helps us if we think about the end.
To know.
Honestly, and I've said this word so many times, I think even as we've talked today, but I really just want to be faithful. I don't even want to be fruitful over faithful. I want to be faithful. And I think in faithfulness comes fruit. I think my life will have fruit and that people will talk about the fruit for a while. And I'm grateful for that. But I don't want them to talk about the fruit of conferences and churches and big events. I want them to talk about the girl who showed up day after day after day and said to God, God, I don't have much today, but I'm here. And whatever I have belongs to you. You can have it and you can use it in whatever way you seem fit. And I want people, when they talk about me, to talk about that. And when they do, I'm sure all the bigger things will come up. Oh, well, she did this or she did that. Look how cool that was. And that's okay. But
right.
I don't want that to be the story. I want the story to be she's the girl that kept showing up.
I just think you're a mama. I've always told you this. I felt that way the first time we hung out. I felt mothered by you. You sat across from me and you absorbed my fears and what I hoped for. And you were in with it and you've stayed in with it, Shelley. I mean, but that's who you are. And your legacy is that there are a lot of people that feel that way about you, that you have shepherded them, that you have helped them do this life more faithfully. So it's not just your life that you're leaving in a faithful way when it's time. It's you've left a legacy of that as well. So thank you for how you have been such an impact in my life, and I know so many other people.
Thank you.
I know we are all so grateful for the faithful women in our lives and to get to glean from their faithfulness. We want to extend a massive thanks to Jenny and her team for allowing us to share this conversation here today. And before we close out, we want to take a moment here to root ourselves in the Word and to reflect on what our hearts need to hear today. So we've got one of our leaders of the Grove team, Kara Diba, to lead us through scripture and prayer.
Hey, thanks so much, Jordan. We're going to read Psalm 91 over you now from the Passion Translation. And as we do that, we're just going to ask you to let the kindness of God wash over you. Remember, like Shelley said in the conversation, that there's a bigger arc at play in your life and in the plans of God. And so all we need to do today, all you need to do today, is to trust Jesus because he is on your side. Psalm 91, safe and secure. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. So how then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Amen. So now, those still listening, daughter of God, what could it be that you're holding on to still that's undermining God as your defender? I'm asking myself the same thing. Is it shame? Is it hurt? Could be a deep fear. It could be a lack of confidence to do what he's called you to do in this season. And whatever that might be, we're just going to take a moment to pause and let you sit in some stillness with the Lord. And we want to challenge you to start to hand that over to him. Jesus, we love you. And we look to you. God, our Father, our Defender, we thank you. Thank you for keeping us from harm. Thank you for the joy and the fullness of your salvation. As we go about the rest of our day, our week, and even this crazy year, God, we ask that you would just remind us that surely your goodness and your love will follow us all the days of our life. We love you, Jesus. We look to you and we trust you. It's in your name we pray today. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We know you'll want to check out JennyAllen.com for more wisdom and resources from Jenny and her team. And hey, The Grove is gathering online on October 5th, so go ahead and put it in your calendar and tune in with us that evening at thegroveonline.com, where you can find even more resources and stay in touch. So we'll catch you next time on The Grove Podcast.